call the meeting back to order. We have a presentation from Mersey Tobiatic Research Institute. Marie Rasiopa. You can. I asked how to pronounce it.
And do I just give my presentation right here?
It's already on the laptop.
Yes. Okay. And you all can see the slides on your screens? Yes,
we will. We will be able to.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Do you use the other computer for it?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Great. Well, hi, everyone, and thank you all for the opportunity to talk about our work today. I'll be discussing municipal species at-risk stewardship. My name is Marie Rasiopa, and I'm a communications and outreach coordinator at the Mersey Tobiatic Research Institute. And my colleague Luca is back there, and he's one of our summer students and working on doing some field work and doing some species at-risk research and conservation. So the scope of today's presentation includes a brief introduction to MTRI and to the Gespewick Conservation Collaborative, which is also known as the KCC. I'm going to be talking about the broad results from our Municipal Environmental Stewardship Survey, and then I'm going to talk about the results that are specific to this municipality. And I will give a introduction on the species at risk toolkit that we're working on, and then we'll have our 10-minute question and answers period. So MTRI is a science-based research group, and we're focused on protecting biodiversity. We have projects dedicated to the research and conservation of species including Blanding's turtles, eastern ribbon snakes, bats, lichens, monarch butterflies, and Atlantic coastal plain flora, or ACPF. MTRI is also a partner organization with organizations such as the Family Forest Network, and we are a partner with the KCC group. So we have our mission and vision up here, which I won't read for you guys right now, but you're welcome to take a look at our website and find out more about what MTRI is doing. So the Gespewick Conservation Collaborative is a group of 18 different partners, including Mi'kmaq organizations, NGOs like MTRI, academic institutions, federal and provincial government departments. The KCC was established in October of 2017, and the collaborative is working together to protect species at risk and biodiversity, specifically in the Gespewick Southwest Nova Scotia Priority Place, which is what the map is showing you. So we distributed a survey to the municipalities in the Gespewick Southwest Nova Scotia Priority Place to get at the question of how can we support municipalities. Oh, yeah, they're not able to see the slides on Teams, so. So we wanted to ask municipalities, how can we support municipalities in species at-risk stewardship? And to this end, we asked about environmental concerns and what are the greatest priorities for municipalities, what barriers municipalities face when it comes to engaging with environmental stewardship. And we also wanted to identify opportunities to link municipalities with different environmental groups that can help with various initiatives or provide support and expertise. So we closed our survey in March of 2023, and we had 56 respondents. Maybe I can speak more into the mic a bit. So we had 56 respondents, and they were from 22 different municipalities, and there's 24 municipalities in the Gespewick area. So these are some of our key insights from the survey, and keep in mind that we had a varying level of response from each municipality, and over 50% of our respondents were members of council. So we found that municipalities are not very aware of the Priority Place initiative or of ecosystem services. So for the Priority Place, only 23% of our survey respondents were familiar with this initiative. There's currently 11 different Priority Places in Canada, and they were all selected for having high levels of biodiversity or species of risk concentrations. We also asked our participants ranked their knowledge on species at risk, invasive species, ecosystems, and ecosystem services. And between all of those, there was a relative lack of awareness around ecosystem services, which are the various benefits that humans can gain from healthy ecosystems. So we found that this could be an opportunity for municipalities to learn more about the concept and maybe engage with projects that do municipal asset inventorying so that we can better understand what environmental assets we have in each municipality. We learned that climate change is a primary concern, and this was across the board for all municipalities and for municipal residents as well. And there was a more positive response to the potential for a municipality to implement policy shifts than there was for developing new planning strategies. Political will, capacity limitations, and a lack of funding were all major barriers to environmental stewardship. Okay. So for the municipality of the District of Lunenburg, the respondents noted some unique features of the area, including various woodlots and trails that go through Acadian forest, coastal islands, and habitat for species at risk like Atlantic whitefish. Climate change and associated issues, including erosion and extreme weather events, were a primary concern for this municipality, and the municipality is actively looking for ways to mitigate and adapt to climate change and related issues. Although the respondents from the municipality of the District of Lunenburg agreed that the municipality has some role to play in conserving species, there was not a consistent response when asked if the municipalities have the authority to engage in environmental stewardship. And we gave some examples in the survey of ways the municipalities could engage, and these were through policy, planning, education, and engagement efforts. And despite this, the municipality of the District of Lunenburg did have a highly positive response to the potential for the municipality to make both policy and planning shifts to become better environmental stewards. The municipality mentioned both policy and planning as forefront tools that the municipality is already using to engage with environmental stewardship. And the greatest challenges to stewardship for this municipality were a lack of external funding and programs, and internally it was a lack of resources that are available for environmental efforts. So overall, the results from this survey are being used to develop a municipal species at risk stewardship toolkit. And the website that's written at the top of this slide is where the toolkit will be hosted. So we hope that by having these discussions with municipalities that and considering the needs and challenges relevant to each municipality in Gespewick, that we will be able to create a toolkit that's going to fill some information gaps, help with outreach, and connect municipalities to different organizations that are available to provide support. So I'm going to go over the different components that we're working on to be involved in this toolkit. So some of these include various spatial tools. So we have two interactive maps that we're in the process of creating, and one of which will show which municipalities are missing key planning documents. So these include the land use planning bylaws, the municipal planning strategy, the municipal climate change adaptation plan, and the integrated community sustainability plan. So we'll highlight which ones are missing planning documents and also which ones have incorporated species at risk into any of these documents. For example, this municipality is unique in the sense that there's less zoning across the entirety of the district, and I understand that that's something that the municipality is working on and trying to do more, so there's more opportunity to also incorporate environmental bylaws or strong setback rules and riparian buffer types of policies to protect species at risk and species at risk habitat. So we're also planning to create a map including species at risk information, some municipal success stories, and special places as mentioned by our survey respondents. And we're looking at working on a interactive decision tree so that municipalities, if they have a species at risk or if they have a resident who has a species at risk on their property, they can go through this decision tree and find different recovery actions that have been recommended by the federal government to protect these species, and these would fall into different categories such as managing the land or doing outreach or awareness raising. And then we're also looking on the right side of the slide, we're looking at consolidating different conservation and municipal tools that already exist and finding good examples of local bylaws and strategies that we can champion to different municipalities. And in terms of conservation tools, we'll be looking to host various outreach materials on the toolkit, such as social media posts, pamphlets, and guides. And we do have some species at risk guides and healthy lakes and wetlands guides with us today. So if anyone wanted to take one home, then you're welcome to grab one. In the toolkit, we'll also have some interactive tables for municipalities to find funding and organizational support. And then we'll have some other kind of miscellaneous pieces in the community action reports and guides section. So that would be resources that relate to environmental stewardship but not exactly species at risk stewardship. So things like native plant lists would be there, different best practices to preserve like the dark sky, water quality resources, and more. And that's all going to be informed by what the survey respondents told us they really are looking to see in the toolkit. So in closing, I hope everyone can contemplate this question: how can your municipality be supported in environmental stewardship? And feel free to reach out to me with any questions or suggestions, or if you want to have a discussion on how we can work together on a stewardship initiative. And thank you all for listening, and I'll open the floor to questions.
Do we have any questions for the presenter? Councillor Haysom?
Thank you so much. I'm really interested in your spatial tool and the mapping. How are you going about, I guess, locating areas where you know there are species at risk, and how are you using that mapping tool?
Yeah, our organization already has a lot of this information on where species at risk are. It's just a question of how much we want to reveal. So there has to be some kind of protection towards specific species, like landing turtles are one that we wouldn't want to reveal exactly where they are. But most of this data is available on government open data websites as well, and we do have quite a bit of this data already.
Okay. Do we have any other questions? Okay. Excellent. Thank you so much for the presentation. Very interesting.
No problem.
Okay, so we're going to move down to 10.1.1. I believe that, the dissolution of the Sustainability Committee. And Abby Jane is going to take this.
Okay, so this item is about recommending to the committee about the Sustainability Committee. So I can zoom in a little bit. The committee is recommended to advise council to dissolve the Sustainability Committee effective from its upcoming council meeting, and staff recommends that the municipal council assigns the Finance Committee and the PSC Committee to provide advice to staff and council on implementing the local climate change action plan moving forward. Quick background: the municipal council established the Sustainability Committee on November 24, 2020 to guide the development and implementation of the community emissions reduction plan, and the committee's term of reference mandated that the council reviews upon completion and approval of Milestone 3 of the Partners for Climate Protection Program. And the terms of reference of the committee is attached at the end of this report. The council officially adopted its local climate change action plan on November 8, 2022, which marks that the achievement of Milestone 3 of the PCP program, and also marks the completion of the committee's mandate. And based on staff analysis, it is now recommended that the council dissolve the Sustainability Committee effective from its upcoming council meeting on May 23rd, 2023. And further, staff recommends that Policy and Strategy Committee to recommend Municipal Council to assign the Finance Committee and the Policy and Strategy Committee to provide advice and recommendations to staff and council on implementation of the LCAP 2030 moving forward. And based on discussions on October 22, 2019, the council declared a climate emergency and passed a resolution to join the PCP program and work through its five milestones framework for both the corporate and the community stream. The community stream focuses on reducing emissions that are generated within the municipal boundary. That could be from residential buildings, industrial, commercial, and institutional buildings, community vehicles, and community solid waste. And the corporate stream focuses on reducing emissions from the municipal buildings, fleet vehicles, street lights, water and wastewater treatment plants, and municipal solid waste. The five milestones are, milestone one is we create a baseline emissions inventory and forecast. Second is to set targets. And third is to develop a local climate change action plan. Fourth is to implement the plan. And five is to monitor progress as we implement the plan. On November 24, 2020, the Municipal Council passed two resolutions. The first resolution was the Council-assigned Policy and Strategy Committee to provide advice advice to staff and council on the development and implementation of a corporate emission reduction plan. And the second resolution was the Council created the Sustainability Committee and approved its terms of reference. And the committee was created to guide the development and implementation of an emissions reduction plan. This report is pertaining to the subsection 7.4 of the terms of reference, which states the committee and its mandate will be reviewed by council upon completion and approval of the milestone 3 of the PCP program. So based on staff's analysis, a Climate Change Action Plan 2030 is a critical plan that outlines a roadmap for the municipality to reduce its greenhouse gas emissions and address climate change. And the successful implementation of this plan requires the support and collaboration of all stakeholders, including council members, staff, and the community. However, it has been found that the current structure of the Sustainability Committee, which meets every month, poses certain challenges for staff in implementing the plan. The challenges include inefficiencies and delays in decision-making. The current structure of the Sustainability Committee, with its limited composition of only four council members, has been found to create inefficiencies and delays in the decision-making process, which can lead to longer implementation times. Because the committee only has four council members that discuss the matters that are discussed within the committee are often need to be revisited in the full council meetings, which can be time-consuming and prolong the implementation process. And this process also leads to delays in moving projects forward and achieving the emission reduction targets that have been set forth in the Climate Action Plan 2030. The need for multiple rounds of discussions and decision-making can be particularly challenging when time is of the essence and immediate action is required to address the urgent environmental concerns. Second is additional burden on staff. Implementing the plan requires a significant amount of staff time and resources, and the current structure of Sustainability Committee adds to this burden. The staff has to prepare reports and presentations for follow-up council meetings, which requires additional time and resources. For example, during the development phase of the plan, staff had to go back to the Sustainability Committee for the revision of the community engagement plan, emission reduction targets, and the final list of action items, which required additional staff time to prepare the revised information. And this additional burden on staff slows down the implementation process and increases the workload. Another is additional burden on staff to identify and prepare new items. So the current structure of the committee also puts an additional strain on staff to identify and prepare new items to present at the committee meetings. Staff may not necessarily have items to present every month, and staff have to identify and prepare new items to present at the committee meetings. For instance, staff may have to prepare a report on the status of the implementation of a project or identify potential projects that align with the plan. And this situation again slows down the implementation of the Climate Action Plan 2030. And this additional burden on staff to identify and prepare new items also diverts resources and time from the other critical activities required for successful implementation of the plan. And the benefits of assigning community of a whole, the community of a whole structure, including finance committee and the PSC committee, can make a huge difference in improving operational efficiencies by moving projects faster, forward at a faster pace without any undue pressure on staff resources. It also provides a more comprehensive approach to decision-making, as it includes all council members, and this results in a better representation of the community's views and concerns, ultimately leading to a more informed decisions. And the structure also allows for a better decision-making and eliminates the need for staff to prepare additional reports and presentations for follow-up council meetings. Additionally, this structure can also help us to achieve our emission reduction targets faster, as it eliminates the inefficiencies and delays caused by the current structure of the Sustainability Committee. And to better support the plan, the Finance Committee can provide valuable advice and recommendations on funding and financing solutions for the projects under the plan. And it can include potential sources of funding, evaluating financial feasibility, and making recommendations for cost-effective solutions. On the other hand, PSC committee can provide guidance on policy and program development, implementation, and communication strategies for the plan. And this committee can provide valuable insights into effective communication strategies to engage community and stakeholders, as well as developing policies that can drive the successful implementation of the plan. And by involving these committees in the process, Municipal Council can ensure a comprehensive and effective approach to achieving emission reduction targets that have been set forth in the plan. So we also did a province-wide jurisdictional scan to get a better understanding how other municipalities in the province are managing their climate action plans. So in comparison with other municipalities, out of total 49 municipalities, only 12 municipalities have achieved milestone 3 or higher in the PCP program, meaning they have a climate action plan in place. And among these 12 municipalities, only 6 have an established committee, which is associated with their climate action plan. And these municipalities include District of West Hants, Halifax, Town of Annapolis Royal, Town of Bridgewater, Town of Mahone Bay, and Town of New Glasgow. Frequency of committee meetings to ensure efficient and effective implementation of the plan. The Sustainability Committee of the municipality meets every month. However, the scan of other municipalities reveals that most of them do not meet as frequently as our Sustainability Committee does. Of the 6 municipalities, 4 of them meet quarterly, like every 4 times a year. And these municipalities include Halifax, District of West Hants, Town of Annapolis Royal, and Town of Mahone Bay. On the other hand, Town of Bridgewater's committee meets every 2 months, and the meeting schedule of the Town of New Glasgow is unknown. It has not been in public records. Given this finding, our municipality sustainability committee may not necessarily need to meet as frequently as it does, and reducing the frequency of meetings may provide opportunities to improve the efficiency of the committee's operations and reduce the additional burden on the staff. While meeting every month may provide regular updates on the progress of the plan, it can pose several challenges to successful implementation, as it has been mentioned earlier too. Based on the composition of the committee members, the District of West Hants has a relatively more favorable composition, with 3 council members, 2 resident members, CAO or a designate, Director of Public Works, Director of Planning, Director of Community Development, or a designate, and Protective Services Manager or a designate. In contrast, the current composition of Sustainability Committee is small, consisting of only 4 members, and there is also no representation of the departments, of municipal departments. This also, as a result, what happens is department heads are not even aware of the developments and discussions that are happening in the committee, and which creates a significant disconnect with the local climate change action plan. And this lack of representation can also delay in decision-making, as the lead departments may not be informed about the project's progress and resources that they may need to allocate efficiently. For example, a project may require the assistance of engineering department, but without a representative from the department on the committee, there may be no one to provide updates or offer advice on the project's feasibility. And this disconnect can potentially lead to inefficient project management and prevent the municipality from achieving its goals. So the provincial-wide jurisdictional scan does provide a valuable insights and what the right composition of the committees or the meeting frequencies or the structures could be. And to overcome the challenges, it is recommended to dissolve the Sustainability Committee and assign the Finance and the PSC Committee to oversee the implementation of the plan. There is also a table that provides all the 12 municipalities, what they have all achieved PCP milestone 3 or higher, what their committee is that is associated with the climate action plan, what their respective composition is, and how often do they meet in a year.
Okay, we have a few questions.
Yes.
Can I, Councillor Haysom, do you want to go ahead?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Abby, thanks for this presentation, and I have a lot of thoughts about it. And so I want to start by saying that I definitely want our council to be able to react swiftly to our sustainability plan. And I think that it's really important. You know, a buzzword that we use a lot these days is nimble, responsive, and I think that we need to be that, especially when it comes to any of this climate change adaptation and mitigation. I also want to ensure that staff is not getting bogged down in details around meetings. I want to make sure that we're being efficient in our use of time. But I have some concerns. The first is that for the last 6 months, I have, as the chair of this committee, been reaching out to say, what is the status, and is there a way that the committee itself can participate in determining what the next terms of reference are going to be for the committee, or to provide some feedback? And this is sort of the first conversation that we're having about it. The second concern I have is that the committee structure as it stands now allows for community participation. And one of the things we've talked about is, you know, we have a big plan. And so if we want it to be adopted by the community has to have that buy-in piece. If we're making those decisions top-down and we aren't engaging our community members at the committee level, I do have a concern. And some of the committee members that we have currently bring a level of expertise and knowledge that maybe we don't have as council members or even as staff. And some of them are really engaged and motivated on some of the topics that we discuss. So I just feel that it could be a lost opportunity if we don't have community members involved with that committee. And then I guess my third concern is around optics. And we've declared a climate emergency. We finally come up with a climate plan. And now that we have the climate plan, we're saying we're dissolving it. I do understand that the rationale for that is to have better decision making and be able to be more reactive. But to people within our community, and certainly some of the committee members, they're going to sort of feel that we've had all this momentum and we're chopping it off. So I want to ensure that we are getting the best possible information we can about any decisions that we're making. And I know that we have really engaged and intelligent people with creative ideas. And I think that the community buy-in piece is going to be absolutely crucial for us to meet any of our really lofty goals that we have. So I have some significant concerns. Maybe we can look at a different committee structure. I do leave that up to you because I want to make sure it is just the most effective that it can be. But thank you for letting me voice my concerns about it, and thank you for your presentation.
Thank you, Councillor.
So, if I am allowed to answer.
Yes, go ahead.
So the first concern is about the committee members were informed that the mandate is complete, and these terms of reference of the committee requires actually staff to directly present to council, and council is required to assess what the next step should be. So in the terms of reference, there wasn't really a mention to engage with the committee members to discuss what the potential future terms of reference could be. The second concern was the engagement. I 100% agree, like the community engagement is essential as we move forward. But I think it would be wrong to see that we are losing out on the community engagement. Rather, we are expanding it. Because as we move towards the implementation stage, we not only are required to have only 4 public members to hear only their voice, but each project that we now implement, we require a broader engagement. And we require all the 25,000 residents to provide their opinion, voice, feedback. And that is part of the implementation, too. Like, each action that we implement, it has to have a certain engagement plan for... We cannot just say, like, only 4 members should be providing the feedback. And again, like all the council members are already voice of the public members. They're representing 10 districts, and it's not should not just be four council members to have. And as we moved, it is not in any way, it should not be looked as we are dissolving, we are cutting off, we are actually mainstreaming it. We are bringing it to a committee of whole to, and both the committees of the whole to lead the implementation of the plan, and all of the council members voice their opinions representing their respective districts, provide feedback what they may be hearing from the residents. Maybe I'm forgetting what the third concern was. Okay.
We have Mayor Bolivar-Getson, then Councillor DeLong, and Councillor Bell.
Thank you, Ann. Abby, you answered a lot of those questions for me in some of the comments that I wanted to make. And I guess the mandate of the committee was to implement a sustainability plan. And in our budget, we just approved a climate action coordinator. And the role of that climate action coordinator is to implement the plan that our sustainability committee put in place. So I see that rolling out quite well together. I would hope that we would still look at the expertise that we had around that table on certain subject matter and utilize that throughout. And there's many other community members that hopefully will have an opportunity when the community action plan is rolled out to have that participation as well. But when I see this moving forward, and I do believe that all of council needs to be involved in the rollout of this, and the Policy and Strategy Committee, Finance Committee, when it's budgetary or financial implementation, definitely is the right place for it to be. I don't see this as eliminating the Sustainability Committee. I see it as it enhancing our way forward to make sure that we can implement the plan that we have put into action. And we have budget money in our budget this year to do that, and I'm optimistic that we're going to be able to roll this out quicker doing it this way. It doesn't mean that that advisory capacity is still not there in some form or another, but I'll let our team figure that piece out. But I know that, yes, there was some valuable information and ideas around that, and that's how it made it into the plan right from the start. But it's up to our sustainability coordinator and our climate action coordinator to make sure that that definitely, I think you're going to have a different title and I've got it wrong probably, but I look forward to this rolling out.
Okay, thank you. Councillor DeLong?
All the concerns I had have already been expressed and more eloquently than I could, so I'm really happy to hear your response to that and that there will be, you know, significant community feedback allowed in the rollout of the plan. I am very much in favor of making the decision-making more centralized to the whole council and definitely want to reduce staff burden. So as long as the community part of the local community action plan is forefront, then I'm in favor of it.
Thank you. Councillor Bell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This Sustainability Committee was a huge diving board to launch a plan and a vision. This committee may have run into a few speed bumps because we only had a few councillors participating in the vision, and sometimes the committee was moving forward with the rest of the council not exactly knowing what was going on until it came back here. So for a period of time, some councillors were in the fog trying to see what that vision was. This committee was not a failure, nor has its purpose been without large gain. We have put many dollars into the next few years, and we have hired additional staff. A few years ago, this was not even considered. So the committee, while it was in place, was a huge success, and Abby, a lot of this success we can give you for your guidance and leadership in moving us forward. As for the community volunteers on this committee, I met several of them during the time that I was on that committee. These individuals do have great vision. They do bring new ideas. And I certainly see a role for volunteers to put input in the future. But I do think we have moved to a point where we can dissolve this committee and move forward because of the things the committee have given us. You have to move ahead and implement some of the things that came from the committee. You can't keep adding to the list continuously because it also has to come with funding. So rather than see the momentum slow down, I think this gives us the ability to move forward with some of the plan that we have in place now and make it happen. So I do think this is the right step at the right time.
Thank you. Councillor Haysom?
Thanks, and I'll just say, Abby, thank you for clarifying that you see this as more making it the Sustainability Committee and our efforts mainstream because it is being addressed by the Committee of the Whole. I think if we're getting that message out, and to echo what Councillor DeLong said, keeping the community part at the forefront, then I can be in support of this because I do want to ensure that we are being as responsive as we can. So thank you.
Okay. Abby, do you want to finish your presentation?
Sure. I think that almost concludes my report. I was going to provide budgetary implications. There's none really because it's a voluntary committee. As an alternative, if council choose not to dissolve the committee, they may consider two options. They can consider restructuring and expanding the membership of the committee to include all council members as well as department heads. This approach can bring diverse perspectives to the table and provide a comprehensive representation of the municipality's response, resources and expertise, and the entire council would be more informed about the climate change and sustainability issues and the progress that we are making towards achieving our targets that have been set forth in our climate action plan. Additionally, including department head is very crucial as this will also enable them to better understand and contribute to the projects and initiatives that fall under their responsibility. This will result in a more coordinated approach in the implementation of the plan. The second alternative that council can pursue is they can direct staff to revise the terms of reference of the committee to better align with the goals and objectives of the plan. For example, it could be revised to assign a specific role to the committee in overseeing maybe specific projects rather than the overall full plan. But it's up to council members to decide. But in conclusion, like based on the thorough analysis, it is recommended that both the communities of the whole are assigned the responsibility to oversee the implementation of the plan. And this will provide a wholesome and comprehensive approach as we move towards achieving our reduction targets. But I think, yeah, that pretty much concludes my presentation.
Okay, thank you. I'll ask Councillor Haysom if she put the motion on the floor.
Thank you. So to the chair and members of the Policy and Strategy Committee, I move that the Policy and Strategy Committee recommend to Council that Municipal Council dissolve the Sustainability Committee effective May 23rd, 2023, and further assigns the Finance Committee and the Policy and Strategy Committee the role of working with staff and making recommendations to Council on the implementation of the Local Climate Change Action Plan 2030, and I so move.
Seconded by Councillor Bell. Are there any questions on the motion? Sorry, Councillor Oikle.
If that, for some reason, the thoughts that we're having of this being able to go forth through these two committees without having a sustainability committee isn't working, and that we would need a committee with different types of role to play, are we able to then have a committee in place? Yes. Thank you.
Okay. So all those in favor? Councillor DeLong?
Yes.
Motion's passed unanimously. So we are going to move down to 11.1.1. It's pro-kids, and Councillor Greek has added this to the agenda.
Thanks, Deputy Mayor Hubley. For those who don't know, recreation's kind of a passion of mine. That was my post-secondary education, and just I love the opportunities for people to just get out, be active, to socialize, anything like that. So when we were at NSFM, one of the sessions I sat in on was about municipal success stories. And one such story was out of Kentville. It was their Spike Fund, which provides funding to residents in Kentville to participate in sport, recreation, wellness, and cultural activities. And to me, their program seems to mirror our ProKids program, with one distinct difference is that there's no age limit. The presentation inspired me to, and not that I want to speak on behalf of anyone else, but I'm sure it inspired others sitting around the table who heard it, to initiate the changes in our municipality to remove the age limit on our funding program. I don't want a single resident of MODL to miss out on a recreation opportunity due to a financial barrier, whether it's a 7-year-old taking swimming lessons, a 25-year-old looking to take up art lessons, a 40-year-old parent looking to enroll in a fitness class, or an 80-year-old wanting to attend one of our senior holiday parties. Every one of our residents should be able to attend our recreation programs without worrying about the fees. So with that, I would like to move that the Policy and Strategy Committee give direction for staff to investigate options for financial support to the ProKids program for residents over the age of 18 who are seeking recreation opportunities and are facing financial barriers, and report back to the committee.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a second?
I think there was a word missing.
Those are important words. Yeah.
What word did I miss?
Similar.
Similar.
Support similar to the programs. Thank you. Yes. Would you like me to reread that, Chair? Nope.
It's
okay.
Not necessary.
I see. Okay. The word Thank similar you. To ProKids is in there. I skipped over that second S word.
We have noted that.
Thank you. Thank you. Are you sure? Is that on record that I missed that word?
We are good. Seconded by Councillor Vino. Are there any questions on the motion? Councillor Bell.
I don't have a question. I'll wait for when you're taking comments.
Councillor DeLong?
Similarly, mine is a comment as well, so I can hold off if that's appropriate.
I think you can go ahead. I don't see any questions around the table at the time.
Yeah, that's fine. I sat in on that presentation as well and completely agree with Councillor Greek that it is well worth our while to explore. And I would recommend to staff to reach out to the municipality that gave the presentation and ask for a copy of it because it was very comprehensive. Thank you.
Councillor Bell, do you want to add your comment?
Thank you. We've raised an entire generation that believes that they can receive funding for anything they wish or achieve to participate in. 18-year-olds are adults, and when I was 18, I made sure I had a part-time job or a full-time job to finance my recreational needs. I won't support any additional social benefit program at the municipal level.
Thank you. Are there any more? Councillor Vino?
I, too, was at this presentation, and you could feel the energy in the room for those that went to it. It was a very inspiring presentation. Something else I'd like to put back to staff, if while they're pursuing this and if it does go through, I went up to speak to the presenter afterwards, and one of the comments she said that people really liked is that during a calendar year, people didn't have to apply with a full application each season. They were kept on a spreadsheet. So if they applied for a bus trip in the spring and they wanted to go to a Christmas party in the winter, they didn't have to fill out the whole application process. It was kept on file for a year, and it made it easier on those who might struggle with filling out applications or to just go through that application process. And I don't know if we do that now for ProKids or not. I'm getting a yes from our recreation director, but I thought that was another important component of it during a calendar year, not to have to put in 4 applications per season.
Thank you. Mayor Balibrigetson?
Thank you. And the Spike program has been in here for a while. In Kentville, and Kentville actually is one of those municipalities recreation-wise that really tend to be the municipality that others reach out to when they're looking at these programs. I guess I wouldn't want to see the ProKids concept lost. We're partnering with Chester, It started with Inchester. We brought it to, or Trudy, actually, our director of recreation, Trudy Payne, brought it here to MODL. I believe it's expanded to Mahone Bay and Lunenburg. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, it's now in Lunenburg County.
In Lunenburg County. And I think that's wonderful. And that's why I was watching for that word similar, because I don't want to lose the pro kids that we have. If there's funding that is necessary or required out here for our seniors or for other sectors of our population, then by all means, we can look at a program, and I welcome that coming back to the table. But I definitely do not want to lose the pro kids concept that we currently have in place.
Councillor Oikle?
Thank you very much. I think this is a wonderful thing to look into, especially as we've had heard from the United Way regarding the amount of poverty that's within our municipality, especially within our senior population. Also, just as a note, was that the spike program was 100% funded by the community. None of it was funded through tax dollars.
Thank you. Councillor DeLong.
I had my hand up because I was going to say something similar to Councillor Oikle, in that I believe I remembered that it was fairly cost neutral and it was funded by the community. So that's definitely worth noting. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So any other questions? Councillor Statton.
Thank you. I too listened to the presentation, and some of it was good, and I'm willing to supported coming back with more information. And I like the fact that it's community supported and not necessarily tax funder supported. I know communities are taxpayers, but if you give voluntarily, it's a little different than we allocating funds to cover the program. So I would support it coming back to us with some more information.
Definitely. Councillor Haysom.
Just as one last comment, thank you for putting this motion forward. I think that something we're learning more and more is that recreation is a social determinant of health, and loneliness is worse for you than smoking. So if you're able to go and participate in recreation programs, that benefits the health of our residents. So I'm very happy to support this.
Councillor Bell.
I must admit that I was unaware that it was a community-funded program, and I thought that by moving in this direction, you could endanger the Pro Kids program, because you only have one group of people giving or one amount in a budget. So after hearing a few more comments, I'm willing to support it to hear what comes back.
Nice, thank you. Okay, Mayor Bellavergetson.
I guess I just want to go back and say that in the past, I know people have questioned whether or not attending conferences and so on was worthwhile. And I guess this is one of these professional development pieces that you do bring back good information from conferences. And I've said it often, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. Like, these programs are out there. We may not have thought about them yet, but there's a lot of things, even with our PACE program, that other municipalities have picked up on throughout the years as well. So those attending the FCM conference, I know that the same good information will come back as well. So, like I said, they're definitely worthwhile to attend.
Go ahead.
Just to follow up on that, I too went to a Recreation Nova Scotia conference, yeah. And that's how I learned about Pro Kids 100 years ago. and so that's how it came to being when I was working in the municipality of Chester. So just to echo what the mayor had said, it is very beneficial to go to those conferences. And just so that you do know, I have reached out to Rachel Bedingfield with Kentville. Staff has been talking at the staff level about this. So I'd like to thank Councillor Greek for bringing this forth to council as well, because what Councillor Haysom has said, the social, you know, it's definitely a health detriment, and recreation certainly supports the mental health, not only the physical health, but the mental health of folks.
I agree. Thank you. Okay, so are we ready for the question? All those in favor? Councillor DeLong?
Yes.
Motion's passed unanimously. Okay, that takes us to the end. Motion for adjournment. Councillor Oikle? Seconded by Councillor Vino. All those in favor? All those in favor? Councillor DeLong, in favor?
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.